अहम् एवा सम एवाग्रे नाम याद्यात् सद् असत् परम् पश्चात् अहम् यदेतच्च यो वशिष्येत सोऽस्म्यहम्।
It is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead, and after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
We should note very carefully that the personality of Godhead is addressing Lord Brahma and specifying with great emphasis Himself, pointing out that it is He, the personality of Godhead, who existed before the creation. It is He only who maintains the creation, and it is He only who remains after the annihilation of the creation. Brahma is also a creation of the Supreme Lord. The impersonalist puts forth the theory of oneness in the sense that Brahma, also being the same principle of I, because He is an emanation from the I, the absolute truth, is identical with the Lord, the principle of I, and that there is thus nothing more than the principle of I, as explained in this verse. Accepting the argument of the impersonalist, it is to be admitted that the Lord is the creator, I, and that the Brahma is the created I. Therefore, there is a difference between the two I's, namely the predominator I and the predominated I. Therefore, there are still two I's, even accepting the argument of the impersonalist. But we must note carefully that these two I's are accepted in the Vedic literature, Kathopanishad, in the sense of quality. The Kathopanishad says, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yogadadhati Kaman. The Creator I and the created I are both accepted in the Vedas as qualitatively one, because both of them are Nityas and Chaitanas. But the singular I is the creator I, and the created I's are of plural number, because there are many I's like Brahma and those generated by Brahma. It is the simple truth. The father creates or begets a son, and the son also creates many other sons, and all of them may be one as human beings, but at the same time, from the father, the son and the grandsons are all different. The son cannot take the place of the father, nor can the grandsons. Simultaneously, the father, the son, and the grandson are one and different also. As human beings, they are one, but as relativities, they are different. Therefore, the relativities of the creator and the created, or the predominator and the predominated, have been differentiated in the Vedas by saying that the predominator I is the feeder of the predominated I's, and thus there is a vast difference between the two principles of I. In another feature of this verse, no one can deny the personalities of both the Lord and Lord Brahma. Therefore, in the ultimate issue, both the predominator and the predominated are persons, this conclusion refutes the conclusion of the impersonalists that in the ultimate issue, everything is impersonal. The impersonal feature stressed by the less intelligent impersonalistic school is refuted by pointing out that the predominator I is the absolute truth and that he is a person. A predominated I, Brahma, is also a person, but he is not the absolute. For realization of oneself in spiritual psychology, it may be convenient to assume oneself to be the same principle as the absolute truth. But there is always the difference of the predominated and the predominator, as clearly pointed out here in this verse, which is grossly misused by the impersonalists.
Brahma is factually seen face to face, the predominator Lord, who exists in his transcendental eternal form even after the annihilation of the material creation. The form of the Lord as seen by Brahma existed before the creation of Brahma, and the material manifestation with all the ingredients and agents of material creation are also energetic expansions of the Lord. And after the exhibition of the Lord's energy, one comes to a close. What remains is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the form of the Lord exists in all circumstances of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. The Vedic hymns confirm this fact in the statement, Vasudevo va idam agra asina brahmana cha sankara eko narayana asina brahmana nishana. Before the creation, there was none except Vasudev. There was neither Brahma nor Shankar. Only Narayan was there, and no one else. Neither Brahma nor Ishan. Sripad Shankaracharya also confirms in his comments on the Bhagavad Gita that Narayan, or the personality of Godhead, is transcendental to all creation, but that the whole creation is a product of avyakta. Therefore, the difference between the created and the creator is always there, although both the creator and the created are of the same quality. The other feature of the statement is that the supreme truth is Bhagwan, or the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead and his kingdom have already been explained. The kingdom of Godhead is not void as conceived by the impersonalists. The Vaikuntha planets are full of transcendental variegatedness, including the four-handed residents of those planets, with great opulence of wealth and prosperity. And there are even airplanes and other amenities required for high-grade personalities. Therefore, the personality of Godhead exists before the creation, and he exists with all transcendental variegatedness in the Vaikunthas. The Vaikuntha locals also accepted in the Bhagavad Gita as being of the sanata nature are not annihilated even after the annihilation of the manifested cosmos. Those transcendental planets are of a different nature altogether, and that nature is not subjected to the rules and regulations of material creation, maintenance, or annihilation. The existence of the personality of Godhead implies the existence of the Vaikuntha lokas, as the existence of a king implies the existence of a kingdom. In various places in Srimad Bhagavatam and other revealed scriptures, the existence of the personality of Godhead is mentioned. For example, in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8.10, Maharaj Parikshit asks, Sachapi yatra purusho vishvastit yupavapyaya muktvatma maya mayesha shete sarva guhashaya. How does the personality of Godhead, the cause of creation, maintenance and annihilation, who is always free from the influence of the illusory energy and who is controller of the same, lie in everyone's heart. Similarly also is a question of Vidura's. Tatvanam bhagavams tesham katida pratishankramaha tatremam ka upashiran ka usvid anushedate. Sridhar Swami explains this in his notes. During the annihilation of the creation, who serves the Lord lying on the shesha, etc.? This means that the transcendental Lord, with all his name, fame, quality, and paraphernalia, exists eternally. The same confirmation is also in the Kashi Kanda of the Skanda Purana in connection with Dhruva Charita. It is said there, Nachyavante pi yadak bhakta mahatyam pralayapadi ato chyuto kile loke sa ekas sarabhago vyaya. Even the devotees of the personality of Godhead are not annihilated during the period of the entire annihilation of the material world, not to speak of the Lord himself. The Lord is ever existent in all three stages of material change. The impersonalist adduces no activities in the Supreme, but in this discussion between Brahma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord is said to have activities also, as he has his form and quality. The activities of Brahma and other demigods during the maintenance of the creation are to be understood as the activities of the Lord. The king or the head executive of a state may not be seen in the government offices, for he may be engaged in royal comforts. Yet it should be understood that everything is being done under his direction and everything is at his command. The personality of Godhead is never formless. In the material world, he may not be visible in his personal form to the less intelligent class of men, and therefore he may sometimes be called formless. But actually, he is always in his eternal form in his Vaikuntha planets, as well as in other planets of the universes as different incarnations. The example of the sun is very appropriate in this connection. The sun in the night may not be visible to the eyes of man in the darkness, but the sun is visible wherever it has risen. That the sun is not visible to the eyes of the inhabitants of a particular part of the earth does not mean that the sun has no form. Ad Aranyaka Upanishad, there is the hymn, Atmaivedam Agra Asit Purusha Vidha. This mantra indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, even before the appearance of the Purusha avatar. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:18, it is said that Lord Krishna is Purushottam because he is the Supreme Purusha, transcendental even to the Purusha Akshara or the Purusha Kshara. The Akshara Purusha or the Mahavishnu throws his glance upon over Prakriti or material nature, but the Purushottam existed even before that. The Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad therefore confirms the statement of the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord Krishna is the Supreme Person, Purushottam. In some of the Vedas, it is also said that in the beginning only the impersonal Brahman existed. However, according to this verse, the impersonal Brahman, which is the glowing effulgence of the body of the Supreme Lord, may be called the immediate cause, but the cause of all causes, or the remote cause, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord's impersonal feature is existent in the material world, because by material senses or material eyes, the Lord cannot be seen or perceived. One has to spiritualize the senses before one can expect to see or perceive the Supreme Lord. But he is always engaged in his personal capacity, and he is eternally visible to the inhabitants of Vaikuntha Loka, eye to eye. Therefore, he is materially impersonal, just as the executive head of the state may be impersonal in the government offices, although he is not impersonal in the government house. Similarly, the Lord is not impersonal in his abode, which is always Nirashtu Kuhakam, as stated in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam. Therefore, both the impersonal and personal features of the Lord are acceptable as mentioned in the revealed scriptures. The personality of Godhead is very emphatically explained in the Bhagavad Gita in connection with the verse Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, 14:27. Therefore, in all ways, the confidential part of spiritual knowledge is realization of the personality of Godhead and not his impersonal Brahman feature. One should, therefore, have his ultimate aim of realization not the impersonal feature, but in the personal feature of the Absolute. The example of the sky within the pot and the sky outside the pot may be helpful to the student for his realization of the all-pervading quality of the cosmic consciousness of the Absolute Truth. But that does not mean that the individual part and parcel of the Lord becomes the Supreme by a false claim. It means only that the conditioned soul is a victim of the illusory energy in her last snare. To claim to be one with the cosmic consciousness of the Lord is the last trap set by the illusory energy, or Daivi Maya. Even in the impersonal existence of the Lord, as it is in the material creation, one should aspire for personal realization of the Lord, and that is the meaning of Paschat Aham Yad Yad Etach Chayo Vashishyeta Sosmyaham. Brahmaji also accepted the same truth when he was instructing Narada. He said, Soyam Te Bihitas Tata Bhagavan Vishvabhavanaha, Bhagavatam 2.750. There is no other cause of all causes than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Therefore, this verse, Aham Eva, never indicates anything other than the Supreme Lord. And one should therefore follow the path of the Brahma Sampradaya, or the path of Brahmaji to Narada to Vyasadeva, etc., and make it a point in life to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, or Lord Krishna. This very confidential instruction to the pure devotees of the Lord was also given to Arjuna and to Brahma in the beginning of the creation. The demigods like Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwar, Indra, Chandra, and Varuna are undoubtedly different forms of the Lord for execution of different functions. The different elemental ingredients of material creation, as well as the multifarious energies, also may be of the same personality of Godhead. But the root of all of them is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. One should be attached to the root of everything rather than bewildered by the branches and leaves. That is the instruction given in this verse. Srila Prabhupada ki!
1,400,000 such species. And of them, this human existence is only a very rare opportunity. And within this human existence, most are uncivilized. They do not follow the rules and regulations of scriptures. And of those who are civilized, they follow the rules and regulations simply for lip's sake. that means they are not actually trying to strive to attain something. They just do it because it is their tradition, their culture, for some ritual. And those who are actually serious about following rules and regulations with some consciousness, most everybody does it in the worship of God or the demigods for material benedictions. Very rare to find even one who is frustrated with the illusions of material nature and wants mukti or liberation. And of those who find liberation, it is very, very rare to find one who really approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the desire for unalloyed devotion. And only such a person can achieve real peace. Why? Because it is the constitutional nature of every spirit soul to be the eternal servant of Krishna. And similarly, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami, his first teaching to Sanatana Goswami after Sanatana Goswami surrendered to him was Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. First teaching, beginning of knowledge, that the eternal spirit soul is part and parcel of Krishna and is the eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna is always a person. And every living entity is always a person. And this is all emanating from the original instructions that we are hearing today from Krishna to Brahma at the beginning of creation. It is consistent throughout our sampradaya. All transcendental knowledge must be based on the principle of understanding achintya bheda bheda tattva in order for us to make real progress toward the spiritual goal of Vaikuntha. Actually, for devotees of the Hare Krishna movement, the simple idea that we are part and parcel of Krishna, that we are simultaneously one in quality with Krishna and different in quantity than Krishna, just like a sun ray is simultaneously one in quality to the sun planet, but one in quality but different in quality. It is very simple for devotees to understand, because Srila Prabhupada has explained it so clearly in such common language, and because he has such transcendental potency due to his complete adherence to the sampradaya. But actually, these sublime truths, which we take for granted to be such basic understandings, are incomprehensible to practically any other school of philosophy. They write volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes of literature with all kinds of speculations and theorizations of who is the soul, what is the soul, what is our relationship with God. Are we God? We are God. Is there a God? And they never really come to the understanding. They cannot grasp it. But even a child understands who is Krishna in this movement. Janani Vas Prabhu was explaining to us the other day how Srila Prabhupada was in a room with great, great, very, very prominent PhD scholars in Vedic philosophy and Indology. These are men who have for 30, 40, 50 years specialized in studying the Vedas and Vedanta. And they are professors. And Prabhupada asked them, who is God? And they went on and on and on and on explaining, well, God may be like this. In this scripture it says God is like this. And in this scripture it says God is like this. And in this Veda it says like this. And in this Upanishad like this. And this Purana is like this. And really, it's very difficult to understand what is the absolute truth. Very, very difficult. And Srila Prabhupada brought little Saraswati, Shyam Sundar and Malati's daughter. And he asked her, who is Krishna? And she said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, you see, this little girl knows more than you. She knows who is God and what is God. You don't know. Why? Because she was hearing from someone who knew. She was hearing from a bona fide spiritual master. It was simple. He was preaching Bhagavad Gita as it is. But these other scholars, they're not hearing from a bona fide spiritual master. They're trying to enter into Tad Vijnana Tamasu Gurum Eva Abhigachate. You cannot understand what the Vedas are saying without the help of a realized guru who is repeating the message through parampara. It is simply impossible. When we speak this philosophy of achintya, beda, abeda tattva, it's so easy for us to understand, at least on a particular level, to actually realize it takes a lifetime of purification. But for those who do not have the divine grace of the acharyas, they cannot understand this principle. They come to so many impersonal conclusions. Here in India, practically everyone is an impersonalist. Even the so-called bhaktas are impersonalists. When it comes to the final say, they will perform bhakti and they will worship the form of the Lord so that they can go beyond that form and enter into the source of the Lord, which is the impersonal existence or Brahman. Their idea is that the Lord, the impersonal, unmanifest truth, enters into this material creation and temporarily takes on a form in the
mode of goodness
as the various incarnations,
just to give us good lessons and attract our minds back to Him. And by worshiping Him in that form, we gradually, and always thinking of Him, we become purified. And through that purification, we become transcendental to all material designations, even the designation of that form of the Lord. And then there's no need for that form of the Lord. You become that form of the Lord. And after you become that form of the Lord, you go beyond that form of the Lord, and you find that the Lord and you are simply one impersonal energy, existing everywhere and in everything. This is the conception of most of the bhaktas in this day and age. Of course, then there's the jnanis who say, forget all this sentimental bhakti. What do we need these forms of God? What do we need all these devotional principles? We will just go right to the heart of the matter. And we will neti, 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 neti. We will negate everything that is of the illusory energy, and we will discriminate through concise study of the shastra to realize we are not this body, we are not of this world, we are not anything, we are Brahman. So there are various schools, but practically all of them, their conclusion is impersonalism. But here we find when Krishna speaks to Brahma, when Krishna speaks to Arjuna, when Lord Chaitanya speaks to Sanatana Goswami, the first and most important principle that they primarily establish is that the Lord is a person, that the Lord has an eternal abode, and that we are persons, and we are always subordinate to the Supreme Person or Krishna. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovididati kaman. From the Katha Upanishad, there is one supreme eternal and there are innumerable other eternals. They are all of the same quality. That means they are all eternal. But still, the one eternal is always the master, the proprietor, and the predominator. And the plural eternals are always predominated. In the spiritual world, the spirit soul, the jivatma, is always predominated by the beauty and the opulence of Krishna. We are conquered by his transcendental, all-attractive qualities. We are predominated by his qualities. We are enslaved by his qualities. We are constantly being controlled by his all-attractive qualities. That is the spiritual world. And in the material world, for those who have forgotten the all-attractive qualities of the Lord, we are always predominated by his external energy, which means the three modes of material nature. We are always enslaved by those three modes of material nature. So factually, the spirit soul is always a slave of the Lord. Either we're a slave by our own sweet will because we are completely conquered by the all-attractive qualities of Krishna. His love is so overwhelming, we are just continuously drowning in the unlimited ocean of his loving qualities and his mercy and his beauty. We are helplessly under the control of Krishna's beauty. That is Vaikuntha. That is Goloka. And in this material world, we are helplessly under the control, enslaved by the three modes of material nature, which is Krishna's energy. It is non-different than him. Nothing exists other than Krishna. That is a fact. But everything is an expansion of energies coming from himself. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mat sarvam pravartate. All material and spiritual worlds emanate from me. Nothing can exist apart from Krishna. Nothing can exist outside of Krishna. On the level of quality, everything is Krishna. But parashya shaktir bhavadaiva shuyate. Krishna expands himself in his everything for his pastime, but when he expands himself, he does it in such a way that all of his expansions are eternally subordinate to his supreme personality. All the emanations are eternally separate and dependent on the source of the emanation, Krishna. And by the spiritual, inconceivable, all-encompassing power of Krishna, he can expand himself into innumerable forms of living beings who are qualitatively one with him, and yet he remains the same. This is inconceivable, achintya. If you have $1 million and you give 1 million people $1, then you have nothing left. If you are of yourself, if you give of yourself, you have that much less. But Krishna is absolute, in the sense that he can expand himself in any way he likes through his various energies, and yet he always remains the perfect, complete whole as he is. And when we understand the greatness of Krishna's personality, how it is sarvakaranakaranam, it is the cause of all causes, then only can we actually appreciate the wonderful pastimes of the Lord when he appears within this world. Otherwise, we become misdirected by so much unfortunate propaganda. Everyone has their opinion of who is Krishna. But Krishna reveals himself who he is through these beautiful verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada explains here that impersonalists oftentimes try to interpret this verse to explain how everything is one. That Brahma and Krishna are both I. Therefore, I is one. But what they do is they take the whole verse out of context. Brahma has just seen the spiritual world, the eternal abode, where everything is full of variegatedness. And now he's talking to Krishna, and they're saying that Krishna is saying everything is one. I, Krishna, is the predominator. I, Brahma, is the predominated. I, Krishna, is the cause of all causes, the remote cause. And Brahma is the immediate cause, or the relative cause. And Srila Prabhupada explains that a father may have sons, and a father may have grandsons, and that grandsons may have great-grandsons, and so on and so forth. They are all individual people. The father always remains the father. He doesn't become the son. He doesn't become the grandsons. He is always separate. But they are one in the sense that they are all human beings. So to understand the energies of Krishna and how they are operating and how they are all coming from the source of his supreme personality is real transcendental knowledge, sambandha. And through this understanding, everything else can be understood as it is. With this basis of understanding who is Krishna, what is the Jivatma, what is material energy, these are the principles of Bhagavad Gita, Ishwara, Krishna. The Jivatma, the living entities, Prakriti, or material nature, Kala, time, and Karma, action. When we understand these five principles and how they are all interrelated to each other, under the control of Krishna, then we can understand everything as it is, Bhagavad Gita as it is. So Krishna here establishes very, very strongly that he is the personality of Godhead, that he is the cause of everything that exists, that everything emanates from him, and that he is the ultimate goal of life. And the previous verses, to the nutshell verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna explains to Brahma, then it is only through devotional service that you can understand these principles. That is abhideya. We have sambandha, we have the theoretical understanding of our condition as the eternal servant of Krishna. But it is through performing that service actively in our life that we realize our eternal nature in connection to the Absolute Truth. Krishna consciousness is not simply a theoretical movement by which we analyze everything so nicely for the purpose of higher knowledge. Krishna consciousness, we understand all knowledge, all philosophy, is simply meant to give us the proper understanding and direction by which we can act and live in this world. We are the eternal servants of Krishna, and Krishna is the supreme, all-attractive personality of Godhead. And by serving him, by practicing the nine processes of devotional service, in the association of sadhus, under the direction of a proper spiritual master, we can gradually realize these truths. We can realize that the personality of Godhead is never impersonal. He is always personal. We can realize what the Vedas really are saying when they talk about impersonal. They are talking that the Lord has no material form. He has no material personality.
He has no material qualities or attributes. He has no material pastimes. Materially, he is formless. Materially, he is without attributes. Materially, he was without qualities. Materially, he is impersonal. But that means without material attributes. That means he is eternally spiritual, transcendental. And his form is never adulterated or contaminated by the powers of his material energy. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. He is always the controller of material nature. He never comes subordinate to his material nature, as we have somehow become because of our infinitesimal nature. And the infinitesimal jivatma, when it comes under the influence of avidya or ignorance, there is only one salvation. And that is when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his mercy, gives us the association of sadhus and teaches us how to call out his holy name. Teaches us how to serve him and take shelter of him. And then it is by his causeless mercy that he personally lifts the infinitesimal jiva out from the ocean of ignorance and places him once again in his constitutional position in the spiritual world as the eternal loving servant of the Lord, where he feels the ecstasy of transcendental devotional service. Are there any questions?
Maharaj, at the end of Dakshayagna, Vishnu appears in his 800 form and he states that in an impersonal form there is no difference between him and Shiva and Brahma. So, how to understand that?
You will have to show me that particular verse.
Yes.
So I can read it in its proper context.
It is at the end of Dakshayagna.
I know, but you have to show me the verse. Whether you are quoting the verse exactly correctly is questionable. Any other questions? You go find the verse and you read it.
Maharaj, the impersonalist and the devotee, we always have been told in Bhagavatam that whenever some material objects comes to in picture or whenever some attack of a material nature comes to you, you have to concentrate on the supreme form of Krishna. By thinking of the Lord, by thinking of the Supreme Form of Krishna, the attack of Maya can be gone away from you. You will be, because you are thinking of the Absolute Truth, that's why it has always been said, always think of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita, everything is very clear that if you are thinking always of Krishna, the attack of Maya will be completely going away from you because you are thinking of Krishna. Now, what about the impersonalist? When those attack comes on the impersonalist, because they don't think that Krishna has a form, they feel that the form is not there. When the attack of Maya comes at that time, how they counteract those attack of Maya? Because they don't know the form of Krishna is there. So what about them when the attack of Maya comes?
They counteract the attack of gross Maya by taking shelter of another attack of Maya. Impersonalism is the last snare of Maya. People who are suffering due to material miseries, due to the bodily concept and the mental platform, they are trying to somehow or other remove themselves from that misery of Maya what the impersonalists do is they actually can remove themselves from the misery of the mental platform and the miseries of the physical platform, but they take shelter of another aspect of Maya, the last snare of Maya. That is to realize that you are not this body and you are not this mind, and thus to free yourself from the influences of the body and mind. And they do that through discrimination and meditation. They can actually attain that platform. They take shelter of discrimination and meditation. And some very, very rare and extraordinary persons may actually realize their existence beyond material energy through the impersonal process. But even after transcending material energy, they still are within the clasp of Maya. They're still in a subtler and more deadly form of illusion, in the sense that they have not understood their relationship with Krishna. They have not awakened their true nature. So therefore, it is the last snare of Maya. They think that they're liberated, but that liberation is not their constitutional position. It can at the most only be a temporary situation. Because eventually that spirit soul is going to seek out active, loving reciprocation. It has to awaken within the heart of this soul sometime or other. And if that soul has not developed an understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that soul will come back to material world to seek out pleasure here. Because the soul is by nature dynamic, it is not inactive. And the impersonal realization is a completely innate, inactive existence for some time. So they take shelter of their discriminatory powers, they take shelter of their intellect, they take shelter of their meditational prowesses. And they may overcome the temptations of gross Maya, but they do it by taking shelter of another form of Maya. Any other questions?
Maharaj, Krishna says that Aham Sarvasya Prabho, that I am the source of everything. And also Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Natve Maham Jatunasam, there was not a time where me and you were not existing. So this out of these two verses, like one verse is saying that there was a time when we were created by Krishna. And one verse says that there was no time when we are not existing separately.
This means that we are eternally part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is our source. And we are, but we must understand, at least theoretically, that this is actually inconceivable until we're liberated souls. Because in our conditioned state, we evaluate everything by material time. But in the spiritual existence, there is no time. There is no beginning or end to anything. So Krishna is the source of everything. Everything emanates from Krishna. Krishna is the creator of all living entities.
And that is true. In the spiritual world, everything emanates from him. However, that emanation does not have a beginning point, nor does it have a middle point, nor does it have an end point. It is eternal. Never was there a time when you or me or all these kings existed, Krishna says. Natvevaham jatunasam, natvam neme janadiva. So we are all eternal, we are all ever existing in these particular spirit parts. At the same time, Krishna says, I have created you all. You have all emanated from me. So that is your question. If he's created, how could we have already existed eternally? That means that Krishna is, his explanation of creation in the spiritual realm or emanation is not mean that there's a beginning point in time like we conceive it in this world. He is created in the sense that everything is coming from him, but it's always been like that. It's eternal. So we have to understand the limitations of our power to comprehend that which is eternal by our conditioned mentality by which everything is evaluated on the basis of time. That's why Srila Prabhupada uses the word anadi, from time immemorial. And Prabhupada, when he explains the source of the jivatma, he said it's inconceivable. It's actually incomprehensible. Because we cannot understand anything beyond what is within the limitations of time. Our mind cannot grasp it. But with our intelligence, we must simply accept it. And through purification, when we go beyond the limitations of the mind, the intelligence of the soul actually has perfect grasp of that eternal nature. The soul is eternal, so the soul can understand what is eternal. The mind is now conditioned to the temporary, so it cannot comprehend beyond the temporary. But by the grace of Krishna, by the grace of the scriptures, by the grace of the spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami, there's three ways by which we understand transcendental knowledge. Through the guru, through the shastra, and through the super soul within the heart. We simply have to accept what they tell us. Then we can understand. In principle. And by gradually becoming purified and releasing the soul from the misconceptions of our temporary designations, then we can realize and fully understand how we are simultaneously eternal and created by Krishna without reference to time.
Hare Krishna.
Does that answer your question?